You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
So usually it's already quite a hurdle to convince, you know, the executive and all different internal stakeholders to start and drive a platform initiative that can and should last for years.
Welcome to the Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich, Chief Research Officer at DevOps Institute. Today we have with us, drumroll, Luca Galante. He's a product owner. And our title of our podcast is A Conversation with a Thought Leader on Platform Engineering. I just talked to Luca, finding out from where he is coming to us. I will not give it away, but he's in a very beautiful place. Hopefully all of you listening in to us will be in a beautiful place, having a nice cup of whatever in front of you, enjoying our conversation. So let me give you a little bit of background on Luca. He actually routinely speaks to tens of engineering teams every month, tons of engineering teams, not tens, but tons every month. He summarizes his learnings and takeaways from looking at hundreds of DevOps setups into very crisp and insightful reads for everyone in the industry, and that from beginner ops to cloud experts. So Luca, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and hello to everybody from Tenerife. Really nice place.
Yeah, he gave it away. Thank you, Luca.
I gave it away straight away.
That is your choice of giving that away. I've been to Tenerife myself, and it is a beautiful place, so enjoy it.
Thank you.
Give us a little bit more background on your current position and what you do, Luca.
Totally. Happy to. So I run product at Humanitech, but I guess I'm more known in the space as one of the core contributors to the platform engineering community. I moderate the Slack there, where we have almost 10,000 people. Actually, I think we're going to cross 10,000 next week. I host PlatformCon, which is the first ever platform engineering conference. I write a newsletter that goes out to 6,000 or 7,000 people. It's called Platform Weekly. It goes out every week. And so I talk a lot about platform engineering. And as you mentioned in the intro, also kind of discuss what the benefits can be with a lot of sort of like infrastructure, DevOps, and so on teams all over the world.
Fantastic. And I think that's why, of course, we are very interested in talking to you. Just again, for your benefit, Luca, our audience is really wide spectrum, from beginners DevOps, from more advanced. We have practitioners. We've got site reliability engineers. We probably got a few platform engineers on the call, on our podcast listening in. We've got testers, we've got system administrators, we've got leaders, we've got individual contributors. So just so that you have a bit of a background. Now, the term platform engineering has gained steam. And to the two folks, Manuel Prez and Matthew Skelton, who I both know, mentioned actually this topic in their book in 2019. I did some research with a vendor partner of the DevOps Institute also in 2020 on site reliability engineering, and we saw the term show up there then as well. So you've been, as you said, a core contributor to this platform engineering community, and we'll have later on for all the listeners more details on where you can get involved. But before we go any further, I always love to make sure that we have a definition. So what is the definition of platform engineering?
Totally. So the way I think about it is platform engineering is really the art, because it's more of an art than a science, in my opinion, of effectively taking all the tech and tools that you have, especially in an enterprise engineer organizations, and binding them into a golden path that enables developer self-service and in general reduces the cognitive load for the individual contributor. And the sum of this golden path that are built by the platform engineering team for the rest of the engineering organizations is often referred to as an internal developer platform, or IDP for short. And the focus of an IDP is really that of improving developer experience by lowering cognitive load of developers while also streamlining the kind of like infrastructure and operational setup on the other side of things. And a sort of like key principle that we advocate for in the community is platform as a product. And so really have platform teams focus on building and shipping a platform as any other product to the rest of the engineering organizations, which is really their internal customers, the developers. And so that's kind of how we define platform engineering: internal developer platform, which is the product of platform engineering, and the two main actors in that transaction, which is the platform team on the one hand, the platform engineers, and the developers, their internal customers on the other.
So IDP, that's something for everybody to do, note down. So typically, where does such a team sit? If I think of the organization, do they report into application development, infrastructure operations, DevOps? And you cannot say it depends. What's the typical typical team these folks sit in terms of the organization?
It's going to be hard without the "it depends" cop-out answer. The reality is we see very different kind of sort of like organizational designs depending on really the size, more importantly, right? So you'll have teams of 100, 200 engineers where they report directly to the CTO. You have, you know, massive companies that we work with that have thousands of engineers. And obviously the platform team does not report directly to the CTO, but to some VP level, probably responsible of developer experience or cloud infrastructure or cloud ops. You have your kind of like director of DevX, head of platform. Those are the type of, they're like titles that usually lead these initiatives.
Mm-hmm. So to some extent, I have also seen them as a shared services group. Of course, that name is not really vogue, right? Who wants to be a shared services group? But I've seen them as an added value to that team. It kind of depends on, as you said. So I said it depends. I didn't tell myself I was not supposed to say that. So, but thank you. That was really, really good. Now, again, the goals of this team, you alluded to it a little bit already, but give us, what are their goals?
Totally. So the main goal of the platform team really is that of figuring out what is the minimum common denominator across their entire engineer organizations of problems that the developers have, right? So you really want to start from not, oh, hey, let me sort of like build a platform with the latest shiny new tech because I've heard somewhere that it's cool and I should take a look at that. But really take a look at, you know, the complexity and the reality of your brownfield enterprise setup, where you usually have, you know, many different development teams with very different stacks and delivery setups. You know, you have the ones that prefer using your SQL CI plus Argo, the ones that are on Jenkins, the other ones are using something again. And so you kind of want to take a look at all of that and get an understanding, all right, what is the minimum common denominator that solves, that attacks the largest possible problem surface? And that's really the starting point of a platform team, together with pinning down precisely a mission and a role for the platform team that gets marketed internally to the rest of the organization. Because that's really important in order to make sure that your platform initiative is successful, is to make clear that everybody understands, hey, you know, this is not another infrastructure SRE team. This is a product team. And so this reconnects to what I was mentioning in the beginning, which is really the core tenet of platform engineering and what clearly differentiates a platform team from a DevOps infrastructure SRE team is this product mindset, right? So is the idea that you need to build a very tight feedback loop with the rest of the engineering organizations, which again are your customers, and make sure that you iterate on top of this minimum common denominator or problems that you identified at the beginning and keep shipping features and keep improving the platform by building these different types of golden paths that we mentioned in the definition. And this is really the make or break for a successful platform team, is the ability of listening and communicating clearly internally to the organization, and understanding what are the best golden paths that I can design for different type of users across different type of teams, right? So as an example, you'll have, you know, your senior backend engineer that really enjoys handling their Helm charts and IC modules and some weird YAML files and scripts that they've put together. If you, build a platform that is very UI heavy and completely abstracts all of that away from them, they'll feel, you know, they have no context, and they'll push back on your platform initiatives, and that platform initiative will probably fail. On the flip side of that, you might have, you know, a junior front-end engineer that doesn't care whether you're running on Kubernetes or somewhere else. They just want to deploy their code, see, you know, test some changes, and off you go. And so for them, it might make sense to have a much higher level of abstraction, whether it's through a UI, or usually what we find on average is still you want to do something code-based because developers don't like to be abstracted away into UI. But that clearly shows you need two different types of golden paths and two different levels of context that you provide to people. Mm-hmm. And so the key ability of a platform engineering team is that of listening and being able to put together this different golden paths for different types of users.
You know, that makes me think of a Rubik's Cube when you were talking about these examples, right? We have very different types of paths, as you said, for these different types of teams. So that's quite a challenge for such a team. Or that gets me to another question. I'm assuming there are multiple platform teams. Are there?
That's a great question. It depends, if I can use that.
Sure.
So usually in the vast majority of cases, no, actually. It's already quite a hurdle to get over, to convince, you know, to get the executive and all different internal stakeholders buy-in to start and drive a platform initiative that can and should last for years. So usually in the vast majority of organizations, we actually see one team, but obviously the ideal scenario is actually having multiple teams competing with each other. And so I can link in the show notes there. I've spoken a couple of times with Aaron Erickson. He's also really a key contributor of the platform engineering community and of the platformengineering.org blog. And he has rolled out what was the successful platform initiative of Salesforce about 5 to 8 years ago. And in our conversation, he tells the story of how they were competing internally with, I believe, 3 or 4 other different platform teams. And this, you know, highlights, again, what I was talking about earlier, which is the importance of, you know, communication and internal marketing skills, mm-hmm. which really positions the platform engineer to have a different skill set than your kind of like usual infrastructure SRE that is more focused on, you know, reliability, scalability, maintenance, and so on. Because really, you are shipping a product, and a key part of shipping a product for everybody that has done so will know is distribution, right? And building that relationship to your customers. And so nowhere is that truer than in larger organizations where you're actually competing. And so you're basically building a almost a go-to-market motion mm-hmm. within your platform design.
You want to get ahead in your career, and we can help. DevOps Institute certifications will validate your knowledge and give you the skills you need to succeed in a key area of DevOps. With our certifications, you'll be able to prove your subject matter expertise and enhance your professional credibility. Advance your career today with DevOps Institute certifications. Get started by visiting devopsinstitute.com.
So you mentioned already a variety of benefits of a platform engineering team. Let's not dwell further on that one, because I think there is plenty of good things you already said. But challenges, and you mentioned one already, which is the actual making sure that executives buy in. So two-pronged question. First, what are some other challenges besides making sure that you market that? And then how and what is the best way to actually market that? If I'm the CIO of company X and you are now coming to me, how would you market that to me?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think there are two basically set of challenges. One is a set of technical challenges. And again, I think the best sort of like starting point is looking at the current reality of your engineering organizations and find that lowest common tech denominator that can be used across all different teams and start from there. And that, by the way, just as a quick tangent, is something that we see a lot of people miss as an idea, because I feel like the fallacy is a lot of people think, hey, if I could only start greenfield, right? And so I'm a new platform team, it's a new platform initiative, let's start from scratch, right? But by starting from scratch and kind of dreaming up of your ideal platform stack, you are missing out on a key piece of the puzzle, which is listening and effectively building on top of the information that you already have available. And so actually, almost paradoxically, we see the most successful platform initiatives really are in very complex enterprise setups. They are very nuanced in the different stacks that people use, and then learn and build on top of that, and then from there they get started. The other set of challenges is what we mentioned, which is basically internal marketing. And then there are two, I think, different levels. One is the first one that you mentioned, which is basically, your kind of like executive buy-in. And I think the main line of argumentation there is one around ROI. And especially in, times like now and in the macro situations that we're living through, is paramount, I think, for engineering management to understand the impact that a platform can have. Mm-hmm. And the impact is not only on your kind of DORA metrics, right? So obviously your lead time, deployment frequency, change failure rate and MTTR, they all improve, right? Massively. You have a crazy drop in ops overhead, in ticket, what we call ticket ops, right? So basically operations team constantly being stuck. Mm-hmm. Then on the other side of the fence, developers having to wait. So, waiting times drop, ops overhead drops. You also have your kind of SLO metrics improving, like security, stability, reliability, all improve because you get a much better audit of who deploys what, where. You can easily do diffs, rollbacks between deployments. And so your entire delivery setup gets extremely more efficient. But I think the other thing that sometimes can be a little bit maybe harder, or like it's a little bit less quantitative potentially, but it's the crazy drop in frustration across the engineer organization, right? Because in a lot of teams right now, the reality of DevOps is developers being completely overwhelmed by increasingly complex cloud native tool chains that they don't fully understand, and in fact shouldn't, because it's not their job. And so when they just want to, you know, spin up a pretty environment to test a little change, they now all of a sudden need to touch 10, 15 different tools and three or four different scripts and completely are completely overwhelmed by what we call, you know, this cognitive overload. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of that, and so what happens is then they basically either ping their most senior colleague, that senior backend engineer we mentioned earlier that likes, you know, messing around with their YAML files maybe, but then what you end up having is your most senior and most expensive resources, shall I say, being effectively blocked and blocking adders and becoming a bottleneck. So that's another point for your kind of like C-level conversation.
Yep.
And then on the flip, or the alternative of that, again, is you have your like infrastructure and ops team completely stuck, basically constantly fighting ticket ops and putting out fires. And so there's really widespread frustration on both sides of the aisle. And that's really what platform engineering sets out to improve, is really living and enabling true DevOps, true you build it, you run it. And not the kind of like half-baked version that we ended up with in the last decade, effectively. And so that's really kind of like your pitch to C-level. And obviously, you know, you can take smaller parts of that and go pitch to your developers and an operations team on the other after that. I think what's important there on the operations side of things is that you make really clear again that you're differentiating between sort of more traditional operation role, right? So it's not like a platform team replaces an SRE team. You still need to care about how you're load balancing across all your production regions and clusters and all of that good stuff. But you need to spin up this separate set of skill sets and roles that really focus on shipping a product, and you need to make sure that that is really aligned. The mission and the vision of the platform engineering org is aligned with the rest of the sort of like infrastructure teams to make sure that there's no friction there. And then the third sort of group of stakeholders obviously is developers, and we kind of touched on this earlier, but the idea here is you just need to listen a lot and make sure that developers have a clear idea that you are improving their day-to-day massively by enabling them to self-serve the tech and tools they need to run and operate their operations in full self-service completely independently. But at the same time, you're not doing that by providing them some past-like tool that abstracts them away from the underlying tech and tools. And again, this will matter more or less depending on the user. If it's a more senior user that is, you know, used to handling low code stuff, then or just like low level configuration stuff, they will be very sensitive to the type of golden path that you design for them. And that's where it's really key that information flow is really optimized. And then also finally, I think there is a conversation of rollout strategy. Again, you can think of it as any sort of like go-to-market. Who are your early adopters? Where you start? And I think, you know, we've seen a lot of successful platform initiatives starting by working with the more advanced development teams that usually are the ones are going to be more comfortable with your cloud native stack. You know, they're not afraid of Helm charts or Terraform modules and so on. And so it will be easier to start by sort of like with them laying that foundation with something that is not so abstracted, and then progressively move to maybe more junior or less experienced teams, or just teams that frankly don't need to be so deeply in touch with the underlying stack of things. And for them, build potentially more abstracted, simpler golden path. So those three groups.
I could just hear your passion on this topic is just phenomenal. Luca, you are phenomenal. I want to say that one more time. You are phenomenal. Now I have two more questions. One is related to the platform engineering and that individual skills. And the last one is a fun question. So let's do the hard work first. Skills. As you know, we here at the DevOps Institute are really engaged in skill building, upskilling, and all those wonderful topics. And you mentioned one skill already, which was listening. Something I have to tell my husband. He should become maybe a platform engineer, then he would improve his listening skills. But no, he has no chance. But that was one skill you said. What are some additional two, maybe two other skills you want to highlight if I want to turn into a platform engineer? What should I have as a skill?
Totally. Well, so, I mean, from a technical perspective, obviously you want to have a solid understanding of all your kind of, you know, infrastructure, especially cloud native tool chain, right? So your Kubernetes, IAC, mm-hmm. infrastructure as code, CI/CD workflows, GitOps, you know, throw your buzzword of du jour. You know, obviously you want to have those bases covered, but I think the vast majority of people that will approach the platform engineering sort of topic coming from a kind of like your infrastructure DevOps role will already be familiar with that. I think really, and I want to kind of, you know, at the risk of repeating myself, but I think there are two main things really that I see. One is product mindset. And so that's really the shift that maybe if you are coming sort of like more green to this is or again from building and shipping products, that's not a big shift. But I think if you are coming from your kind of more traditional infrastructure and DevOps role, it might be a more important shift mindset wise that you need to make. Mm-hmm. And that's I think really key, right? And so that's obviously like the part of the listening and having this product mindset and really starting to think, hey, your developers are your customers, and that's all that matters. And so then obviously there are all these topics that emerge from there, the kind of fundamentals of product management, right, that we all know. So user research, product roadmap, MVPing, how you think about adoption, and that's just to mention a few, right? So really just taking everything we've learned in the last few decades around product management and applying it to effectively infrastructure and gluing together your tool chain into a product, a platform that makes sense for your end users. And then the other one is communication broadly. And, you know, obviously part of communication is listening, but the other part is speaking. And so the speaking part is again, like, how do you think about internal marketing? How do you think about stakeholder buy-in, and how do you make sure that you are adapting to the different type of lingo to communicate incentives clearly, right? So the way you communicate to a C-level and you talk about ROI and you talk about, you know, your decreased time to market, you know, developers don't care about that, right? So then when you talk to developers, it's really about, you know, their developer velocity and I mean even velocity productivity or more stuff for C level. It's really about just getting them stuck and talking about, hey, your waiting times will drop, and you know, this is how we can improve your day-to-day immediately. And I think there a key part of the communication is how you plug into their current workflow without interrupting it. And so that's, I think, it is really important. But yeah, those two things, really, product mindset and communication skills are, I think, the major thing. And if you were to plot on a graph your kind of evolution of buzzwordy sort of roles and titles from your sysadmin to your infrastructure to your DevOps engineer to your platform engineer, you know, if you had time on the x-axis and sort of like communication on the y-axis, then, you know, they would plot up to the right. And that's I think kind of how you want to think about it, right? Like, platform engineer is basically a DevOps engineer that listens and communicates better.
Beautiful. Wow, that sounds like a really exciting career choice to make. If anybody out there wants to know more, there is plenty more to get involved in. I just say that there is a fantastic report, and I think you, Luca, were the author of it. It's called The State of Platform Engineering. So if anybody is interested in that, just look for Luca Galante and type in State of Platform Engineering. because there is all these different ways of getting involved in Slack channels and communities and events. Super. This was extremely insightful, I think. Now comes the fun part. So besides doing these great thought leadership pieces, doing your work, talking to people like me on platform engineering, what do you do for fun, Luca?
So as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm currently on Tenerife. And so it's been really fun over here. I've been living out of a van, actually, for the last couple of weeks, and surfing mostly really early in the morning because we're 1 hour behind here. But that's, I think, one of the things that I do for fun, just being in the water, being in nature, that's really good times for me. And the other one, frankly, as a good Italian, is just eating and drinking good wine. So, simple person, simple needs, but does go pretty far for me.
Fantastic. We have to meet in person. I have a van. I love Italian food.
Oh, amazing.
I cannot surf, even so. I do like the water. So maybe we get to meet one time somewhere in a place, maybe Tenerife. This has been fantastic. Thank you. We have been talking to Luca Galante, product owner, product master, and really a great thought leader on platform engineering. Luca, thank you again so much for joining me today on Humans of DevOps podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. And if I may, just because you mentioned the events, if people want to learn more about platform engineering, I would encourage them to check out platformengineering.org. That's really the home of the community, and platformcon.com. That's the event that's coming up in June this year. It's free. Anybody can sign up, and we'll have the best of the best, really, of DevOps and platform engineering thought leaders there. So I invite everybody to join us over there.
Great. Thank you. Humans of
Thank
DevOps.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Humans of DevOps podcast is produced by DevOps Institute. Our audio production team includes Julia Pape, Daniel Newman-Schultz, and Brendan Lay. Those are the three folks I want to have a shout out to because they're wonderful. I am Humans of DevOps podcast executive producer Evelyn Ehrlich. If you would like to join us on a podcast, please contact us at humansofdevopspodcast@devopsinstitute.com. Do I sound like a virtual agent? Maybe. Anyway, have a great day. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.